Well, good evening, Saints. I'm so glad to see our celebrity guest tonight, Miss Fern Cox. She's also known as Crash. Even though it's not her fault, I know you get even. She's called me several times over the past weeks, and there's a saying in our part of the country where we grew up is, you better get your hiney in church. Now, my mama used to say that all the time. So guess what I did for the last month? I called her. She finally did tonight. Oh, boy. Well, what a great time to be alive, isn't it? You know, you often wonder sometimes, people do, that back in the, it'd be exciting to live in the Old Testament days. No, it wouldn't. I wouldn't, but we are living in biblical days. Pastor's message this morning gives some light on it. There is, folks, I don't know how to put this other than this. There is more going on right now in this world than you realize it's going on. Satan is loose. And this is his last ditch effort. Because he knows as well as you and I know, because he's read the book, that he's doomed. And, you know, there's more going on than I understand. And it's exciting times we live in. There is a message out there. If anybody's interested, see me, or better yet, see my wife. Last week, Pastor Jack Hibbs. Anybody familiar with him? I listened to him quite a bit. Oh, one of the best. We lost John MacArthur this year, but Jack Hibbs is right in there. Jack Hibbs did a message at his church last week on what's happened in Iran, between Iran, Israel, and the United States. It is fantastic. It will open up your eyes, give you understanding to date why this is going on. Okay? There's a reason why, and it's a good one. No. He does have some wonderful stuff in Ezekiel that you touched on this morning. But this has to do with the war and why, what is going on and why. And you wonder why Iranians are jumping up and down and dancing around the world. Because America got rid of one of the most wicked men in the world since Hitler. They got rid of them, and now they see the light that now they can come back and form a democracy back in their own country. As they exited Iran over the years, when this regime came in the 70s, now we might be seeing them go back. What's going to happen from there, I'm not going to comment, but this is one of the reasons why the war is. This is an extremely evil man and regime that was in charge. It killed, I don't know how many, in the thousands of people they had executed. Yeah, that's one guess. At least that he had executed in his country. And this is why American Iranians all over the world are dancing in the streets, because America got rid of him and everything. All right, let's get on our lesson tonight. I want to just do a short review, and folks, bear with me, because we're going to wind this up and go on. You know, we were looking at the secrets of God, and here in a couple of weeks we're going on to the next one. Probably after next week. In all of these messages here, we're trying to point you and bring you to the place to where you can see Christ. And you can see Christ that in your everyday life, as God is beginning to conform you to the image of His Son. And this is where we are as believers. Now, in relation to what is happening in this world and how close the possibility of the rapture could be, I cannot stress the importance for you and I as children of God and as believers of God to open up our hearts and to be heart hungry, that you would want to, day by day, hour by hour, to be conformed to the image of Christ's Son. Because God is preparing you and I right now, this very minute, on this earth, He's preparing us for eternity. You know, it's people, I don't understand it. You can't hardly get people out to church. What do you think it's going to be like in heaven? If you don't like going to church now here on this earth, I don't think you're going to like the heavenly church. And I've been told by a reliable source their music is just out of this world. Their music is. You just ain't ever heard such good music. And I can't wait. Of course, I know it's all Southern gospel, but I'm a little prejudiced, but but I, you know, as we get older and as we grow and begin to see the image of Christ and the image of Christ in our lives and in our lives of our brothers and sisters in the church and begin to grow, we can't help but want to see Jesus. We can't help but want to be in our Father's house. And I admit, I know very little about what it's going to be like, just other than what little bits of Scripture stuff. But I don't have to. As long as it's there with Him, that's all that matters. You know, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. That's for sure. That's for sure. And I hear that that heavenly apple pie is going to be something else. But, you know, last week, and just a short review, we had started on the second R, and we were looking at the three basic R's of basic Christian living and reckoning. And we had pointed you towards Romans 6:11. And the word reckoning there is in some of the versions, and others say to be conformed and et cetera. But reckoning, the word means doing accounts or bookkeeping. And did I hear the racehorse trumpet go off? Yeah. I wish I had the Gabriel's trumpet sound. I'd come to church and turn it up loud. Scare the deacons to death. Anyway, and accounting, it's a bookkeeping term, and it's interesting to note that reckoning is the only thing that us humans can do correct. Math. And 2 and 2 is 4, no matter how you slice it. Now, some of this modern math they have in these schools that my grandkids is coming home with, I just scratch my head. I don't know. I don't know how you arrive at what you do. But it shows how perfect and what a fact it is. And it's the truth. And as I've said many times, this word is the only real truth we have in this world. Now, there's truth mixed in with other things in the world, but it's not the truth. This is the only truth that you and I can totally 100% depend on. And we're told in the Word of God to reckon it to be so. To live our life accordingly to what the Word of God tells us, every little bit of it. Now, we're told, and we point to Romans 6, 1 to 8, we're told in verse 6 to reckon that we were crucified with Christ. And what we see within these scriptures, and this is real important for us to understand, and we need to understand this in order to go on to maturity, that God has finished with our human nature, and He sees only Christ in us. He's done with our human nature. He's put it to death. He's crucified it. God, even God couldn't fix you up and make you better. Okay? He didn't even try. So why are you trying? He just took your human nature, put it on a cross with Christ, and crucified it, and put it to death. God is not in the fixing up business. He makes you a new creature, just like He made you in the very beginning a creature. And this is something that we need to understand. So many people are going out here trying to live, trying to be better and do better, and they can't. God couldn't even do it. And this is one of the things that Paul is teaching us in this part of the scripture, is that God has done with our human nature. He's finished with it. He did away with it, and we're to reckon it to be so. And then we took a little break and paused here, and I went into the area of faith. And now, we're not by any means going to go through all we did last week. It's just too lengthy. But we seen that the interpretation of Hebrews 11:1, I like the interpretation that Darby puts out in his New Testament. And it says, faith is a substantiating of things hoped for. And substantiating means that I have a certain power or faculty that makes my substance to become real to me. And this is what faith does. It takes the unseen things of God, or faith substantiates to me the things hoped for, and that is the unseen things of Christ, like reckoning, like love. All the things that the Scriptures teach us and tell us about, that we're to have faith in and live by faith. We can't see them, but faith makes them real in our life. When we apply faith to it, it makes them real in our life. All right, let's go on with I want to go on with reckoning a little bit further tonight, and in light of Romans in the 6th chapter. That God, as we said, God has finished with our human nature and sees only Christ. Now, here's a problem that really hits us. It's one thing to say that in God's sight, but He may have finished with our human nature, but I haven't. I haven't finished with my human nature. I still have and live, and you do too, with that old human nature until you're dead. We have to live with it. We're stuck with it. As long as we live here on this earth, we're stuck with it. And in that human nature, we're stuck with all of its failings, with all of its fears, with all of its temptations, with all the potential for sin that there is, all the rebellion that is in our hearts, and all the independence from God. We're stuck with this, and they're all mine. Of course, the Scriptures give us a lot of answers to how to deal with this. And remember, we taught you that as a believer, you now have two natures. You still have that old nature, but you have a new nature that is a partaker of a divine nature. And the whole problem that you and I fight in our life is the struggle between these two natures. Unfortunately, our old nature has a tendency to win an awful lot. And we all face this. You see, it is in this human nature the power of sin is experienced. And this is our daily battlefield. This is our daily battleground that you and I fight every day. Even though God has finished with it, I haven't. So how do I handle a human nature that's in rebellion? Well, Paul gives us the answer in the 6th chapter of Romans in verses 10 and 11. Reading for the Amplified, he says, "For the death that he died to sin, ending its power and paying the sinner's debt. Once and for all, the life that he lives to glorify God in unbroken fellowship with Him." Now, this was done once and for all. It's done, it's finished with. Christ died a death, he died to sin. Now, here is the exciting part, people. When Christ died, we were there too. When he died to sin, you and I were there too. Didn't he tell us in verse 6 that we were crucified with him? Now, you and I, obviously we weren't born, and obviously we didn't live in Jerusalem, and obviously we weren't nailed up on the cross. Do what? Yeah. But he says we were there. Just like you were in Adam when Adam fell. That sin nature was passed on from Adam to his son, to his son, to his son, to your grandfather, to your father, to your father. One generation after the other, the scriptures tells us. It's a hereditarial problem. It's not that you did stuff bad. It just come nature. I mean, we all did bad. Then you come out of your mama screaming and crying. Isn't that the beginning? You're nice and warm and cozy and kept your mouth shut. And then all of a sudden everything changes. You start screaming and complaining about it. Right? That's how we begin. First time I heard that with our oldest daughter scared me to death. But now, verse 11 tells us how we're to handle our human nature in rebellion. He says, even so consider or reckon yourselves to be dead to sin and your relationship to it broken. Severed in two. It's two. It's still there, but it's broken. He says, but alive to God in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus. Now, it's interesting how many times Paul, over and over and over again, he tells us, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Not in yourself. Not that you can do it, but you did it through Christ Jesus. He did it, and you're in him. Now, in other words, I should act as if I'm dead to sin, and I should behave as if I am insensible to its power. Remember, we're talking about how to behave like a saint. This is how we're to behave. We should live our life and act as though I am dead to sin. And I should act and behave as though I'm insensible to its power. It's so sad to see the world out here and people and even professing believers. And I'm not judging them. That's God's job. Oh, I call them professing believers, whether they really are or not. That's God's job. But their life is possessed with this old nature. And they can't give it up. They won't give it up. Many run to psychiatrists or psychologists or whatever, and they're just as screwed up as you are. Many run down to the local doctor at the bar, and the bartender, they dump their troubles on him. Well, he's just as dominated by the power of the old nature as they are. And people, the only place that you're going to find deliverance is right here, in the written word of God and in the living word of God. That is the only place that you're going to find deliverance. It's the only place they are. But how many empty pews have we got here tonight and this morning? And any other time when Ryan has his Bible study and Jim and anybody else? They're not heart thirsty. They look to the world. And what does the word tell us? To turn our back on the world. Don't look in the world. Don't seek counsel with the world. Because they're just going to lead you astray. Because this is the truth. The person of Christ is the truth, and the Word of God is the written Word and the truth. This is the only thing we have. Without this, we'd all be slaves to our old nature. And they're literally slaves. Those that are not saved are literally slaves to the old nature. They can't help to do what they do. Some of it's a lot worse than others. You know, we're living in such a blessed dispensation of grace since the Garden of Eden. We are. And I think a lot of believers don't stop and realize as to just how serious and just how magnificent was what God had done for mankind when He sent His Son to die on that cross for you and I. I don't think we realize it. You know, and one of the things that men and women like myself that has been raised up in church all of our life, I'm so thankful. And the longer I live, I'm thankful for a mother and dad that pointed me towards Christ, took me to church. But one of the dangers is that so many times we just take it for granted. And we don't stop and realize what Christ has really done for us. And get down on our knees and thank God for what He's done for us and what He's given us. Because folks, you and I as children of God are the most blessed people on earth. You know, our time is short, so short. And we're going to go on through all eternity with Him. Amen. The rest of the world is going to be totally separated. And Satan, as Pastor said this morning, is going to be doomed and separated. And we're not going to have to put up with his foolishness no more. We're not, this crucified old nature we have is going to be completely done away with. And you and I as partakers of a new divine nature. Isn't it going to be wonderful to be, and I'm anyway, isn't it going to be wonderful to, as natural in your life and my life as it is to sin, isn't it going to be great to be just as natural to be praising God and living for Him and be looking to Him and being conformed to Him as it is natural right now in your body as it is to sin. Do you understand about speaking English here? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, wow. That one of these days, it's just going to be natural. Just to be praising God and giving thanks for what He's done for us. And not have the bombardment of sin coming in our life. And it just irritates me to no end. And every time I try to pray, Satan is there bombarding me. You know, I have my eyes focused and I begin to pray and the first thing is here or it's over here. And it just irritates me. And many times I've got to stop and start all over again. And as hard as I try not to do that, the worse it gets. But one of these days, don't worry about that no more. Isn't that right, Mary? She said, you know, she's about to start shouting here a little bit. But it is. I mean, you know, we need to stop and think about the glorious things that God has given us. And these things, we are to reckon it. You can't see these things, folks. But the Word of God tells us that we need to reckon them to be so. And I got some more good stuff. We'll get to it on this. And you know, and I'm not teaching sinless perfection here. Okay? Just because we have a new nature does not mean, but what it means is that, you know, you don't have the power not to sin, but you have the power to change your attitude towards sin and you can say no to it. That's what your power is. Paul tells you, and I think it's Galatians, that once sin reigned in your life as a king, but now it's no more. You're not a slave to it anymore. You don't have to be. You know, well, what do we do next? Once we reckon this to be so, what do we do next that we can count ourselves out of this situation? Well, the Word of God tells us. Just sort of read on. The same chapter. Let's go up to verse 12. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts and passion. Don't do that. Very simple. I say to myself, Bob, now what don't you understand about that? Don't let this happen. He says, in verse 13, he says, do not go on offering members of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. But, here's the good part. But, offer yourselves to God in decisive act as those alive, raised from the dead, to a new life, and to your members in all of your abilities, sanctified, set apart as instruments of righteousness, yielded to God. This is what we're to do. Now, we're going to get a little bit more of that in just a minute. But offer yourselves to God. Have you ever offered yourself to God? Lord, I like to wake up some mornings. Sometimes I'm just so druggish I don't do it. But some mornings, and I think it was this morning, yesterday morning, or just, I woke up, I lay there, I said, good morning, Lord. What do you want me to do today? Have you ever just said, Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do today? Here's some hands. Do you need them today? Here's a brain. Do you want me to think about you and your word today? Here's some lips. Lord, do you need me to speak for you today? Here I am. Lord, what do you need? Here's some feet. I could go over to church and take these hands and clean. That's what you want. What do you want, Lord? Talk to him. Dan, is there an update on her, on Wes, or no? Wes is pastor announced this morning had a terrible accident, and I don't know the extent of it. I mean, that could happen to any of us, and some of you have experienced tragedy in your life to be, you know, very similar to that. And the only thing I want to relate to that to this. When you're laying there in your consciousness, and Fern, we talked about this, and she's one of our latest victims of this, hurting. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Not that I did anything wrong, not that you're punishing me, but just, isn't that right? Just, Lord, what do you want to teach me? What do you want to show me? You ever been flat on your back, just pure helpless? And in pain? Well, Lord, here I am. You got my attention. I know you're not punishing me, but what do you want to teach me? You know, and God's, and I'll tell you the biggest part of this, God's answer to all this kind of a question, to all kind of questions. You know what God's answer is? He's going to show you more of His Son. That's His answer. He's going to, and Fern and I talked about, isn't this right? He's just going to show you a little bit more of Jesus. It's a little bit more of the great I am. But you need to ask Him. If you don't ask Him, how does He know that you're serious? Or you want to see Jesus? We have died. Have you ever thanked God that you're dead? Is that right, Curtis? You ever say, Lord, I thank you that I'm dead? Well, you know, let me read you a verse of Scripture. And I like this. I'm dead. I know a preacher that told me about somebody in the church, and when they found out, they just shouted, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead. When it finally come to them, they reckoned it to be so. The light come on, they understood it, I'm dead. And you know what God thinks about that? I'm going to read you a verse of Scripture. I'm going to tell you what God thinks about that in the 116th Psalm and verse 15, he says, precious and great consequences in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones, so he watches over them. I think in the King James it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now this is used a lot of time at funerals, and it's appropriate. But you're not in the casket yet, but yet you're dead. And when you die to the Lord and you realize and you reckon that you've been crucified with him, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What a glorious realization it is when you come to the point in your life when you realize you're dead. Wow. That makes God happy. You know. 116. 116, verse 15. All right, let's real quick, I want to look over at the path and progress of reckoning. And as we look back at Romans 6:6, and we want to make note here that when Paul tells us that you have been crucified with Christ, this is tense, it's once and for all. It's final. And as I've told you, I think last week or the week before, this is part and one of the big parts of your security. You have been crucified with Christ. You can't be uncrucified. The Word of God in the Greek is once and for all is done. And when we know this, what follows? Well, verse 11, we know this. Then we're to reckon it. Reckon it or count yourselves to be dead. Now, the Word of God makes it clear that in verse 6, let's read it, and we're backing up because we're adding to these verses of Scriptures. Verse 6, in the Amplified, it says, we know. We know. Or know this. Now, this is real important because the Word of God makes it real clear that knowing precedes reckoning. Okay? The sequence is really most important. We have to know. Our reckoning must be based on our knowledge of divinely revealed fact. Before you can reckon, you need to know. How are you going to know? Read the Word of God. Now, when we know, if you really know, then reckoning comes in spontaneously. You see, verse 11 is no good without verse 6. So what is the key to reckoning? Well, let me ask you some questions. Do you believe that your sins are forgiven? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? Do you believe that there were two thieves on the cross with him? Do you believe in your own crucifixion? Do you believe that Christ rose from the dead? Why? Why? Well, the Word of God tells you so. But what else? Because you know. And the reason you know is because whether you realize it or not, faith has substantiated that in your life. And those unseen things, God has made real in your life. Amen. That's how you know. Faith makes it real. Paul sheds some light on that in Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians 1 and verses 17 and 18. This is how you know. This is how faith has substantiated the unseen things of God in your life and made them become real. He says, I always pray that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you, give to you, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Folks, you would not know this if the Holy Spirit had not made it real in your life. Okay? There's not a preacher in the world to stand up here and preach to you and you understand this, if the Holy Spirit hasn't opened up your mind and turned the light on and gave you understanding. God gets all the glory. Didn't He say He'd do this for you? And you're here tonight and have been here last week, the week before, and you're beginning to understand this because you're heart thirsty and you want to know, and God has promised you that He's going to show you. The rest of the world around is not here. They're not going to know. It's not me. I'm just repeating what the Word says. I'm not that smart to figure all this out. The Holy Spirit has revealed this to you. And Jesus confirmed that with Peter when He told Peter, when Peter made his confession, well, Peter, you know this because the Spirit of God showed you this. Wow. What a God we have. All right, our time is up. We got 4 minutes, and we're going to do 4 minutes. Real quick. The third R. Okay, I told you we're going to do three R's. The third R, I'm just going to lay the foundation, and next week we'll get into it. And the third R is respond. I almost let the cat out of the bag a while ago. But anyway, the word is respond, and the key word here with that is yield. I yield. When you know this and when you understand reckoning, now that the Holy Spirit has given you that knowledge, you know it, now it becomes real in your life, you yield and you respond, and you become vitally involved with the other nature that dwells in you, and that's that divine nature. You see, you switch off the old nature, you consider it dead, and you relate the issues of living to the new natures. This is what you and I are to do. Forget the old nature. It's dead. We now have a new nature, and we're to live according to it. In other words, I recognize the indwelling Christ as a real person, and I begin and being a new person and bringing my body and members and faculties to a place at His disposal. Once again, Paul gives us a very, very important verses of Scripture. This is what happens after we know, we realize that you've been crucified with Christ, you've been risen again, which we didn't even get into that. You've been risen with Him. We didn't get into your ascension with Him. But you understand that you've been crucified with Him. You've reckoned it to be so. You now understand that your old nature has been put to death. Now what's the next step? Here it is, the 12th chapter of Romans, and you'll probably know this verse of Scripture. 1 and 2, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies and all yourselves set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational and logical, intelligent act of worship. With this, remember, folks, you were bought with a price. You belong to Him. Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary for you and for you and you and me. We belong to Him. And God is telling us, you can never repay me. We don't have money enough to pay Him for that. You can't be good enough to earn that. So God says, this is what I want in payment. You ready for this? This is what I want in payment. I want you, Will. I want you, Sharon. I want you, and you, and you, and you. I want all of you. You owe me. I bought you. You belong to me now. Look at all I'm giving you. I've given you a divine nature. I've given you everything that you are now. You can't even breathe without me. You can't do nothing without me. You can't even live the so-called Christian life without me. You can't do nothing. So you might as well, folks, present yourself to Him, give yourself to Him. Then He goes on and tells us in verse 2, He says, "And do not be conformed to this world." I don't want to be a part of this old stinking world. What in the world is out here around us that we want? Nothing. It's temporal. It means nothing. It's full of lies. It's full of hate. It's full of deceit. There's nothing out there. There's nothing out in this world, folks, that's going to live forever. The only thing that's going to live forever is this divine nature that you are now a partaker of. That's it. He goes on to say, any longer with his superficial values and customs. And then he tells us to be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind. Wow. Focusing on godly virtues and ethical attitudes so that you can prove yourselves to what the will of God is. That is with that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. How much clearer can that be? That's what we're to do. Transform and renew your mind. That's where God speaks to you at. Hello. Turn your ears on and listen. He tells us to keep renewing our minds. What's the best medicine to renew your mind? What is it, Curtis? That's right. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that opens up our minds and turns on the light and gives us understanding in your word. Father, we're so thankful for what you did on the cross for us, and that you took our old nature and put us to death, and then raised us with a new life and a new nature with your Son, Jesus. Father, we just give you thanks for that. Lord, thank you for everything. Lord, I pray that you'll be with each and every one of us as we go home. Keep us safe, Lord, that we can come back and worship you at the next time. In Christ's name, amen.